بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, if we evaluate and ponder over our lives, then we will come to this conclusion that whenever we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, break a commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go against the teachings of Sharia and the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then within us we feel a sense of shame. And we have this desire and wish inside us that I wish I did not carry out such and such a sin. We feel a sense of rejection and dejection because of our disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter if we have done that sin 50 times, 100 times, 200 times, that person who has true iman in his heart, whenever he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not feel proud of himself. He does not have a feeling of boldness and braveness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. The sign of you being a believer is that when you do something good, then you feel a sense of pleasure inside. And وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ, when you commit a sin, then you feel a sense of shame inside you. Any Muslim you take who has iman in his heart, no matter who he may be, he could be taking drugs, going to nightclubs, drinking alcohol, coming to the masjid once in a blue moon. But if he has iman in his heart, then this will be his condition. And despite all his wrongdoings, this person, he will not feel a sense of boldness that I am so powerful and mighty. Who is Allah in front of me? No, he feels a sense of shame. This is why when this person also, who lives a life of sin, he meets somebody who is pious, or he looks at somebody who is pious amongst his friend circle or his family, or he comes and sits in the company of his imam for a short while, then he has this desire inside him that I wish I could also become like this person. He will also tell somebody, make dua that I one day become good and pious. Any Muslim, any believer who has iman in his heart, the flame of iman in his heart, this will be his condition. If this is not his condition, then he needs to worry about his iman. So, whenever we commit a sin, we feel this sense of shame. A person, take for example, he is addicted, a young man, he is addicted to pornography. And he cannot leave this sin. He leaves it once and then he falls into it again. And then he leaves it again and he falls into it again. Over and over again he is going through this cycle. Every time he views something of this type, after he finishes this, he will find this sense of shame inside himself. And he will feel tawbah, tawbah. Why did I do this for? I'm not going to do this again. Comes the next day, he falls into the trap of shaitan again. And he ends up doing the same sin. After he finishes, he does not feel a sense of happiness that I achieved something great. But he feels shame inside. He won't go and tell anyone. If a person is going out and proclaiming his sin, this means that this person needs to worry about his iman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu ummati mu'afan illa al-mujahideen." Every person from my ummah will be given afiyat and safety by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except the mujahid, the one who openly sins. And one example of this the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave is that person who sins in khalwat, in private, and then he goes and proclaims his sin. He boldly advertises the sin that he has done. So this person, he won't do this. He will feel that, why did I do this sin? If only I could leave this. And then a week goes by and he falls into this trap again. And again and again. And this carries on in his life. We will find this in our own lives with certain sins. You have a young man, he is addicted to masturbation. Forgive me for being explicit, but these are the norms of the day and they have to be discussed. Whenever he does this filthy act, after he finishes, he feels a sense of dejection. He feels dirty inside. He feels filthy inside. And he wishes that, I wish I could just stay away from this. Why do I do this sin for? And he makes his firm intention that I'm not going to do this again. Come the next week, he falls into this trap again. Then he makes a firm intention, a few days pass, and he carries out this sin again. And again and again, and this carries on. And we find this in our lives, where we become addicted to certain sins, we carry out certain sins, which we don't want to. We don't want to carry out these sins. We want to leave this life of sin, because this life of sin, this is a dangerous game to play. This is a dangerous game to play, because when a person commits a sin, this means that spiritually he is becoming weak. It's just like our life is a battle, a constant battle with our nafs and shaitan. We are in the ring with shaitan. Now, whenever we commit a sin, that means that our spiritual strength and stamina is becoming weak. Just like in boxing, the opponent, he doesn't go for the big punch right at the beginning. He'll keep on punching you with his jabs and this and that. And he will try and tire you out. He'll try and make you weak. So he will, and then he will look for that opportunity that when this person is now off guard, he will go for the killer punch and knock this person out once and for all. So shaitan, he makes us commit sins. And sometimes, though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the bounty of tawbah, we shouldn't take it for granted that I can do tawbah, so let me sin, it doesn't matter. I'll do tawbah later on. Because sometimes a person, he sins to such an extent and he becomes so weak spiritually that he's not even given the tawfiq to do tawbah. And another thing is, whether our tawbah is accepted or not, this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we cannot be sure that let me commit a sin, I'll do tawbah and everything will be okay. We should have husna dhan and hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that does not mean that a person boldly sins. So the fact that we live a life of sins is a dangerous game to play. If we become so weak spiritually, shaitan may go for that killer punch. And sometimes this will lead to a person being knocked out and deprived of his iman once and for all. Sometimes a person lives a life of sin to such an extent and then his iman slowly starts to become weak. And he starts to have doubts regards qabr, regards the day of judgment. How do you know the day of judgment really exists? How do we know what happens inside the grave? How do we know that Allah really exists? Have we seen Allah? Has anyone witnessed the punishment of the grave? So this person, his iman is now becoming weak. He is questioning the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is questioning the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was saying that the life of sin is a dangerous game to play. So we do not want to commit sins. We want to leave this life of sin. We want to leave this pattern of constantly disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question is that why does a person commit a sin when he wants to leave this and he knows that this is not good for him? This fruit of sin that tastes good in the beginning and at the end it has a bitter taste. We've ate it once. If somebody eats something once and it has a good taste at the beginning and that it leaves a bitter taste in the mouth, what will he do? He won't touch this fruit again. But we do this once, we have the sweetness of the sin and then eventually it leaves a bitter taste in our mouth at the end. So this means that we should not go there this again. If you have tripped over a certain place once, you should now be careful as far as this area or this road is concerned. But what do we see in our life? That despite making this error once, we do it again and again and again and again. And time again, we carry on, this cycle carries on in our life. What's the reason behind this? Why can we not leave these sins? The reason, my dear brothers, is that a person, when he becomes unaware of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him, and he is in a state of ghaflat and negligence, this is when shaitan catches him off guard and attacks him. One of the names of shaitan is Al-Khannas. Al-Khannas, which means piche hatne wala, the one who moves back. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, who explaining this, mentions that khannas means that being, that person, it is describing shaitan. And what is the sifa of shaitan? When a person remembers Allah, when a person is in a state of ghaflat, so he sits by the heart of a person. When he finds this person in a state of negligence, in a state of where he is not aware of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the existence, of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over him. When shaitan finds a person in this state, then he whispers in his heart. He injects in his heart. When a person is in a state of ghaflat, this is when shaitan injects in a person's heart. And he puts ideas into his heart. Like we find many a times, I mentioned today at the time of Asr also, that a person, he is sitting at home on his laptop doing his schoolwork, doing his some work as far as his job is concerned. It's late at night, everybody has gone to sleep. He's all alone, there's nobody around. And he's in this moment in the state of ghaflat, in the state of negligence. He has forgotten that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is watching over you wherever you may be. Now, because of this, shaitan watches that this person's hands are down. This is the time to give him a good punch. And he comes and whispers in this person's mind that go and visit so and so website. Your wife is sleeping. Your children are sleeping. It's the darkness of the night. You can delete your history later on. Who is going to find out what you've been up to? So shaitan uses this moment where this person is in a state of negligence. And when he finishes this sin, he's back to square one. Now he feels dirty. He feels filthy inside that. Why did I do this for? But why did he do it? Because he was in a state of negligence. Because he was unaware of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over him. This is when shaitan, he attacks us. When he finds us in this state. This is why it is of utmost importance that if a person, he wishes to leave a life of sin, he wishes to come out of this vicious circle of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he fills his heart with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He acquires that state where he is always under this conscience. He has this conscience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over me. When he is in this state, then he will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the student, he is on his best behavior when? When he knows that the teacher is watching. Either the teacher is in the classroom, or the teacher has CCTV on his watch, on his mobile phone. The ustad is, he's not in the class, he's gone for his tinja, or he's gone to the office for some work. The student will be on his best behavior until when? When he knows that the teacher, he's either sitting here, I can see him, he can see me, or he is watching over me somehow. The son, he behaves in the home. When? Until he knows that the father is watching me. The father is around in the house. As soon as he realizes and he hears the door has closed, now his behavior changes. Because now, according to him, the father cannot see and know what is happening. So this will result in a change in his behavior. Similarly, when a person becomes unconscious of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is overlooking him, his behavior changes. Now when shaitan comes and whispers to him, he follows the whisper of shaitan. This is why we have to make this effort on my heart, on our hearts, my dear brothers, my young friends. If we want to, because we want to leave sins, yes or no? We don't want to commit sins. We don't want to disobey Allah. We love Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe, they have utmost love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever they may be. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. But the condition is that a person brings inside him the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An Arab poet, he says, إِذَا مَا خَلَوْتَ يَوْمًا مِنَ الدَّهْرِ فَلَا تَقُلْ خَلَوْتُ وَلَكِنْ قُلْ عَلَيَّ رَقِيبُ وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفُلُ سَاعَةً وَلَا أَنَّمَا تُخْفِي عَلَيْهِ يَغِيبُ إِذَا مَا خَلَوْتَ يَوْمًا مِنَ الدَّهْرِ. When you find yourself alone someday in your home, or you are not alone, you are in a majlis, but your phone has a pin, a special pin which nobody could get into. Your father, your mother, nobody could get into. And you're on your WhatsApp, on your Facebook, talking to some girl or talking to this person or that person or looking at this or that. خَلَوْتَ يَوْمًا مِنَ الدَّهْرِ. Nowadays, you don't need to be alone to do wrong. You can be in a big majma and you could be doing something wrong, nobody will realize. You could be amongst your friends, your family, your parents, and you're up to something doing haram, sometimes a person could be in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even then he could be in a state that he's unaware of the existence or the watchfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is doing something haram. So he says, إِذَا مَا خَلَوْتَ يَوْمًا مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَا تَقُلْ خَلَوْتُ لَا تَقُلْ خَلَوْتُ وَلَكِنْ قُلْ عَلَيَّ رَقِيبُ. When you are alone one day and shaitan comes and whispers to you to commit a sin, then say to him that I am not alone. قُلْ عَلَيَّ رَقِيبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. There is somebody who is overlooking my actions. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفُلُ سَاعَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't go to sleep. His CCTV never goes off. It is never damaged. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفُلُ سَاعَةً لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Let alone sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even get tired. He does not even get tired. Sometimes we don't sleep, but we just doze off when we're sitting down in a bayan or on a plane or in the bus or in our lecture in university. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is so mighty and powerful that لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Neither does He sleep, neither does He doze off. Neither does he yawn. He is beyond this. So the poet, he says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفُلُ سَعَدًا. Don't think that Allah is unaware of what is happening. وَلَا أَنَّمَا تُخْفِي عَلَيْهِ يَغِيبُ. You've closed the curtains. You put in a very strong pin. Don't think that maybe your father cannot get into your mobile phone. Your wife cannot get into your laptop. She cannot open your Facebook account. She cannot open your emails. She cannot do this and she cannot do that. Nobody is around to watch you, and you are trying to hide. وَلَا أَنَّمَا تُخْفِي عَلِيهِ يَغِيبُ. What you are trying to hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can never be hidden. Because He is سَمِيعٌ basir. He can see, His power of seeing is so great that He can see every single person in one given time and watch over each and every person of His every move and harakah and what He is up to. No matter if He is in the most secretive of places. This is the awareness that we have to bring in our hearts. And this is known as Al-Ihsan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the very famous hadith, hadith of Jibreel, he was questioned, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came in the form of a human being. And he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mal iman, what is iman? And then he asked him, mal ihsan, what is ihsan? Sorry, mal islam, what is islam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to proclaim the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to perform salah, to go for hajj, to give zakat, etc. Then, so Islam and Iman, these are very important things. This is the backbone of our religion. The third question that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, mal ihsan, what is ihsan? What is the quality of ihsan? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, an ta'buda Allaha ka'annaka tarah. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. That you reach such a stage that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if. So worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically here means you spend your life as if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you cannot reach this stage, which is a very high stage, then at the least, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. If you cannot, obviously a person cannot see Allah with his own eyes. لا يدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار. Allah is beyond this. It means to have that stage that a person, it is as if he is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then he says, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ. If you cannot reach this stage, then even then you should fear him. Why? فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. Because whether you can see him or not, he can most definitely see you. So this awareness that comes into a person's heart, that he has this awareness with him 24/7, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. If he is in the masjid, he has this awareness. If he is in his workplace, he has this awareness. If he is in the university, he has this awareness. If he is at his shop, he has this awareness. If it is night, he is aware. If it is day, it is aware. If he is alone, he is aware. If he is amongst his friends or if he is amongst his family, he is aware. If it is Ramadan, he is aware. If it is out of Ramadan, he is aware. If he is in Makkah, he is aware of the watchfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he is in Toronto or London or New York or on the most exotic of islands, even there he is aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This 24/7 awareness, this is known as the sifat of ihsan. And this is that thing which will stop a person from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This quality, when it comes inside a person, then he will spend his whole life in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not say any word which goes against the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not look at anything which goes against the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not listen to anything which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This condition of his in the istilah and terminology of the Sufi akiram is known as dawame ta'at. That a person, he has dawame ta'at. He is always in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worshipping doesn't mean that he is always in the masjid. He is always in sajda. Means that he carries on his normal life, but he does not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does what he is supposed to do. He stays away from what he is supposed to stay away from. And he reaches this stage of dawame ta'at. What is our condition? We don't have dawame ta'at. Sometimes we are in ta'at, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we are sinning. For a week we are in ta'at. For a day we are sinning. For a few hours we are in ta'at. If we are in the masjid, we are in ta'at. We are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not displeasing Him. But when we go outside on the streets, then we misuse our eyes. We misuse our ears. So now we are not in the ta'at and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are in amongst the public, then we are following the Shariat. But when we are alone, we are going against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is not dawame ta'at. This is our condition. That we are sometimes worshipping Allah, following His commandments, and sometimes not. This is not the condition that we want to be in. But unfortunately, this is the case. So we want to come on to dawame dhikr. The dhikr means the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dhikr is of two types. One is dhikr lisani, that a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his tongue. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, etc. But there is a stage of dhikr which is even higher than this. This is known as dhikr qalbi, the dhikr of the heart, which basically means the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. And this is what is wanted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, dhikr lisani has its fadail and virtues, taking the name of Allah, praying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, etc. This has its virtues. But the highest stage of dhikr is that a person, he is always aware of the existence and the watchfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the stage of dhikr that we have to reach. When a person reaches this stage, now he will be in dawame ta'at. He will always be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not falter. And if he does, then immediately he will turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is known as dawame dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place in the Quran, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. When you finish your Jummah Salat and go out and do your business, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. Now obviously if a person is doing his business, how can he remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively? He needs to talk to his customers, he needs to make his transactions, he needs to go about his daily duties. He's not going to always be moving a tasbih around. The dhikr, the mufassirin mentioned, that is needed or wanted here is not the dhikr of the tongue, it is the dhikr of the heart. If he remembers Allah with his tongue, alhamdulillah. But more so, when he is in his marketplace or in his business or in his shop, he should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart and mind. He should not cheat anyone. He should not misuse his eyes or his tongue. He should not speak to someone in an inappropriate manner. This is known as dhikr qalbi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanud, kurullaha dhikran kathira. You believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. A person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that the ahkam of Islam are so many. I can't remember everything. It's too much for me. Inna shara'i al-Islam qad tashabbathat alayya. The rulings and teachings that you have given, they are too much for me. Can you just give me something short and sweet that I can hold on fast to? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yazalu lisanuka ratban min dhikrillah. Your tongue should remain moist in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your tongue will eventually give you make you reach that stage where you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times with your heart and mind. And when a person reaches this stage, as I mentioned, then he will be able to stay away from sins. Then he will be able to come out of this vicious cycle of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question that remains is, that how does a person reach this stage? How does a person reach the stage of dawame dhikr? That he is always conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, tomorrow we will discuss a few points in this regard. And shortly try to explain how a person can reach this stage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us his awareness at all times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from ghaflat and negligence so that we can stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.